Welcome to another exciting episode of the Business of Digital podcast, featuring your hosts, Matt Siltala and Dave Rohr.
Hey, everybody. Excited to chat with you today about this topic because this is something that, well, first of all, before we jump into it, just give a big shout out to Dave. He's actually in the room. We're doing this recording together again.
Yes.
And so, for those that may be new to the show, I'm in Arizona typically, and Dave is in the Chicago area.
Much colder Chicago.
Yes. But, you know, we're here together bringing you this episode. And so what we wanted to chat with you guys about today was why businesses should blog. And I know that Dave has a bunch of really awesome stats and stuff that he's going to share with us pretty soon, but I just wanted to jump in with it. And, you know, for me, what's crazy is like, we do this podcast now because you and I were not like huge bloggers or, you know, it's just that there's not a lot of, you know, it's harder. This is the platform that we love, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But I look back to when I first got started and I actually started getting recognized and I started, you know, building a name for myself because of blogging. And I remember this will date me, but way back in the day, you remember when Search Engine Land had Spin?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just get recognized and you get a lot of,
how do you pronounce it? Is Spin or Spin? Yeah, it's weird.
Spin. I don't know. Yeah, Spin. But my point is like, that helped me establish myself and my name. You know, that was my brand at the time. And then obviously it grew from there and became Avalanche Media and whatnot. And I've talked to so many different people like Marty Weintraub with AimClear, you know, and how well they do with their blogging and just the kind of content that they're putting out there and just all the different things that they do that have helped them grow their business and how, just the simple thing of blogging. And so, that's really what I wanted to chat about today and, just share a couple of examples. Like one of the examples that I'll get into is work with a locksmith that's in the Upper East Side, New York City. And if you've ever done a Google search or a Google Maps search for a locksmith in New York City,
it's pretty competitive space no matter where.
Well, true. But if you do it in New York City, especially in that area, it looks like cockroaches on a map. Like there's so many of them. And so one of the things that we started doing with them is helping them understand the importance of, you know, just the hyper local blogging, you know, even if it's not 100% related to what you're doing in the locksmith area, it's related to your community and letting people know about who you are and what you're a part of. And you sponsor events that are in your area and you get those links and those references, but you're blogging about just different events that are happening. You're blogging about just the charity stuff that's going on. You're blogging about just anything within your community and you're taking pictures and you're sharing those kind of things. And it's really just completely changed, their business. And so it's just one of those things. Like I'm pretty passionate about this and I think like it's going to be something that's, again, I mean, you got the stats. Maybe you can share some of the stats with us, but go ahead and share your thoughts.
Well, there was, I used to work with an e-commerce site and we were trying to come up with different content that was kind of all over the place. And one of the ideas is they sponsored some mountain biking and a couple local teams. And what we would do is we would cover what the team was doing and their schedule. And that was a blog post. And we could talk about, it was being sponsored by them. So it made sense. And a lot of their shoppers and the buyers and people that were in their area were all familiar with the team or at least with that sport. So we were able to cover that. And then every so often, usually about once a year, sometimes I think twice even, we'd ask, there was just the leader of the team and they were a really good writer and they actually had a blog on their own.
Oh, wow.
So we would kind of ping around the team and ping them and say, hey, can you write like, mountain biking stuff. So it was like, can you talk about like what you do to prepare for a race and how a normal person that maybe doesn't race, but what stretching or what things you do to your bike to make sure that it can survive, you know, the beating you're about to give it on the trails. And we would just kind of talk about it. And there was like a National Bike Month, I think is in May. So we would always post like one or two posts during that. And that was one of them. and it would promote the team. It would promote the fact that the company was giving back to the community, that they did a lot of stuff on the local trails and, you know, gave money and gave, the people that work there would actually give time and go back and work on the trails.
Oh, nice.
I know some friends that do a lot of that too, where they live out in Ohio, and they're always blogging. I'm always like, you can go and find like an REI or someone and start talking to them. I'm like, I'm sure they would be more than happy to talk to you and help you, give you a discount on, you know, your next hiking boots or your next thing. But she's like, I don't want to write. But she's writing stuff all the time on Facebook. She's taking all these awesome pictures. But there's so many different ways.
What you were just mentioning, though, it got me thinking about, because like that's the reason that I get from a lot of people, and I'm sure you do too. Well, they think that the blog posts have to be, you know, 2,000 word perfect, like everything. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
They have to be this like master glorious novel. And sometimes a simple, even 300 word blog post can be like super powerful. Like if it,
yeah.
So, but you were about to share, sorry.
Yeah. I don't write that much for our posts.
Yeah.
But I was just going to say, here's a couple stats. And this is from Social Media Today. And actually, they think they got it from somewhere else. But it was an interesting infographic. And just like brand awareness, 70% of consumers learn about a company through articles rather than ads. For the SEO benefit, companies who blog receive 97% more links to their website. Visitors, the average company that blogs receives 55% more website visitors. And I work with a SaaS solution where the number of visitors to their blog is ridiculous. Like, I mean, they just blog once every month, maybe twice a month right now. And just over the years, some of the blog posts that generate a lot of links and a lot of traffic is not exactly on topic, but it's close.
Yeah.
And then there's other stuff that has blown up over the years, just on social. And then,
well, speaking of social, like, let's just talk about the added benefits of stuff like that. So let's say that you have a blog post and it's got like the really good information. Well, this is where you should throw in visuals. You should throw in things that can be shared on Pinterest, for example, mm-hmm. or things that can easily be tweeted out or shared on Facebook. And so you have that side of it, that whole opportunity where you have this awesome blog post, but then, you know, there's parts of it that can be shared in other places. I mean, you could drive a whole bunch of traffic from something on Pinterest, for example. And so, that's a whole other side of it that people need to think about and pay attention to.
Yeah. And it also gives you a way, if say I'm just looking at Social Media Today right this moment. So maybe they have paid social and organic social are two of their categories, and some new, and, you know, maybe they have subcategories for Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and some new little thing comes up and they offer services, we'll say, for all these different ones. For them to talk about one of the new services or new social platforms, it doesn't make sense to add a service page for something that just started last week. But if you have a blog, it's very easy to create a page that you can then share and show and create. And then you now have content around that topic that otherwise you wouldn't. And it's the same thing with an e-commerce site or even some sort of service. You know, if you're tree cutting or, you know, lawn service, lawn landscaping. If you want examples from different cities to show what you've done.
Yeah. Well, it just got me thinking, because there's a lot of people that you talk to that, you know, the platform they use is Instagram or whatever. They're like, I do blog. I blog on Instagram. Well, here's the deal. Like, and again, I know that funny enough, we just recorded an episode on algorithm updates, but I know that there's talk about including that kind of content within the SERP results, you know, the social content. And to an extent, it does that already. But what I'm thinking about is if you have that really good content, if you have like some content that's written on Instagram, why not just put that on your blog as well? You know what I mean? Like, why not just share a little bit more information or share some more images or just, I don't know, what are your thoughts on that kind of stuff? Because like, I just feel like if you're just doing it on Instagram, you are hitting your audience there, but you're missing out on so much more that content can be picked up from the search engines and what it could be doing like on a blog.
What if they were just doing it on Vine and Vine went away?
Very good point.
Yeah, I mean, Google's the largest search engine. YouTube is the second largest. So why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And why wouldn't you want to get stuff in Pinterest if your audience is on Pinterest and you can have a blog post that, you know, you have images and then you pin it. You now have a chance to be in Google. You can share it across Twitter and Facebook. You can use it in your email newsletter, which is what a lot of my clients have done in the past. And I tried to push them towards, you know, if you have a newsletter or you don't have a newsletter, you can blog and then use a quick summary and include that in your newsletter. Now you have content. You're reusing that content across Facebook, Twitter. You're able to pin stuff. You now can include it in your newsletter. You can use it if you have customer service or if you have, if you're the person that answers all these questions all the time through email or people calling, you can say, hey, go to the website, go to blog, go to, you know, updates or go to, you know, internal, whatever you want to call it, like, you know, and or go to my website and do a search for, you know, how to do this. And we have a video. Or we have step-by-step directions that will walk you through. And instead of you walking that person through, and if anyone's ever done IT support for their family, clients, customers, friends, husbands, wives, you know that you can sink an hour into that.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're running a business or if you're the only person taking calls.
Well, and I hope people are paying attention to what you were just saying there because you answer that next part of it because, you know, for a lot of people, they're – you know, the very next question will be, okay, well, what do I blog about or what kind of content should I have? And so you're answering it right there. I mean, anybody that runs any kind of a business, go and talk with your sales rep, go talk with your customer service people, go look at any of the answer sites that are out there like Quora, LinkedIn Answers, anything like that. You know, go see what kind of Google suggests stuff come up when you type in keywords and related keywords to your website. What kind of questions are people being You know, what kind of questions are people asking about in your industry? One of the examples that I love about this, Dave, our friend Melissa.
Yeah, I was just going to say that example that we talked about when she was on the show long ago.
Yeah, like the fact that her her dentist, okay, so like our industry is known to create a lot of the exact same kind of content and just replace it with town name, okay?
Or brand name.
Or brand name or whatever. And so she was looking for an orthodontist. And she was coming across this issue where everybody was putting out the same exact kind of content, but they were just switching the area or whatever it was. Well, she ended up continuing to search, and she found this orthodontist that had videos that talked about all the specific different things that she was looking for. Like, I can't remember exactly what was wrong with her son at the time and what she was looking for, but he had produced a video that talked specifically what he does in his area to that problem. Okay. And so that content that like wins every day over just the same normal copy and paste type content. And so that's what we're talking about here, guys. Like if you have any kind of a customer service team to talk to, if you have any kind of frequently asked questions already.
I love using that too.
Yeah. I mean, like that's your content, guys. And then you just decide, you know, do you make a video of it? Do you make a blog post about it? Do you make an easy video or an image about it? You know, the other example I always like sharing is I work with an HVAC guy here and, you know, he was worried forever about, well, the videos have to look nice and produced. I'm like, no, just hold your phone up and let's just get something out there. Show people what you're doing or show people about hell damaged ACs because we live in an area where, you know, freak storms happen and people get their AC units damaged by hell. And so it happens. Create a video. Show people what it does. Just, it doesn't have to be amazing. And just the simple fact of him doing that and creating a video, putting it on his website, you know, you mentioned YouTube being the second biggest search engine. Someone found it, a commercial guy actually, and ended up booking him for and just this because it was a commercial place that he was redoing these for, ended up making him over $1 million just from a simple video that cost him nothing. Yeah.
Try to match that again.
Now again, yeah. and we should, you know, side note that that's not going to happen every time anybody does it, but the point is it could.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be like crazy produced, you know, you don't have to spend $5,000 on camera gear to have one video. I mean, we have these kind of opportunities. And so,
yeah, and I know I've used this example before when we used to do the content marketing talk at PubCon, but I would always use baseball. Like, if you can hit 300 in the major leagues, you're going to start. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to hit a lot of home runs. I mean, you'll have 500 at bats. If you can hit 300 average, 10, 15, 20 home runs, you're probably going to be a starter. So when you start thinking about your content, everyone thinks that everything has to go viral or has to, you know. No, if you get 3 out of 10 that get some shares or get some traction, or even 1 out of 10, and if you're producing some content here and there and you can get some to get in front of someone and you can get a couple sales from it.
Well, it's funny because like Avalanche has been around for a while, and before we were Avalanche Media, we were Dream Systems Media. And before that, I was just a solo shot by myself. Well, you know, we're close to 40 employees now. Got a nice office, and I'm looking back at all the content and everything that we've done over the years. And the thing that we're known for the most, exactly, you guys can't see it, but Dave pointed to a poster that is
social media,
basically explained. Social media explained by kitties. Yeah. And, this is something that, you know, we've put out lots of content over the years. We've put out lots of stuff that I would consider viral or good.
That's your big hit.
That's the big hit. It's the one big hit. And that's what everybody knows us for. We've even put out updated versions of it, and people continue to still share the original version of it, and they love it. And so again, you know, it's like, it goes to what you're saying. You don't, as long as we have a lot of those consistent hits, but you get that one home run, you know, this is like, Our company is 10 years in the making, and we have one true viral hit.
Yeah.
And it's been fine for us.
Yeah. That's all you need. But all you have to do is produce some content. And it's interesting because we sat down and, I mean, just think about, you know, every time I talk to people and they're like, oh, I can't blog. I'm like, we can find a freelance writer to write it. And then you just go back over. And I even did this with some of my executives once before, where they were like, I don't have time. I'm like, okay, we have internal writers. Tell us what the points that you would want to make.
Yeah,
like, just give us the outline.
Yeah.
And we will have the people write it, and you will then review it. And you can do the same thing. Find a freelance writer or find someone internal that can write it. You just make the, you know, just review it, you know, even if it's one of your kids or, you know, nephew or someone.
Yeah.
I mean, we always kind of poke about, you know, you don't want them to do your design and stuff. But if it's writing for you, most people take, you know, English 1, 2, 3, 4 in high school and even in college. And we talked about it before. Go to the local college and say, hey, go to the, you know, any of the writing classes. Is anyone looking for a business? Can anyone write? Does anyone want to, you know, do it? And if it's $50, $100, even up to $200, $300 to write, and you might think that's a lot of money, what if you get one sale from it? What if you can have them write something from your customer service standpoint that can walk someone through a problem that you answer 3-4 times a week? Or what if your customer service or salespeople constantly have to answer this question? If they can each save 10 minutes a week over the course of 1 year, I mean, how much money does that save you?
Well, I just think about just a conversation that we had with a client that we locked up several years ago. They found us because of that social media graphic, because they loved it. And they did a little bit of research on our company, and they realized, hey, we want someone to create stuff like that for us, you know, creative content. And fast forward a couple of years, and literally hundreds of thousands of dollars paid to our company from these guys. And so again, you know, it goes to your point of that's the point here.
Yeah.
So.
And you can tie it into your business, and you can tie it into your community. There's a lot of different ways to do it, but we kind of blog every so often. I mean, you got your start. I got my start live blogging for Barry for SE Roundtable.
Oh yeah.
And I used to blog on my site every so often. And I've written, I think last year I wrote for Authority Labs. Every so often I do those roundup things that drive me crazy, but
yeah.
but every so often I do those, and you know, we basically blog now once a week through this podcast.
Yeah.
We have the small write-ups. And if any of you follow us on Twitter or Facebook, I'm sure you see us now using this as our blog. So yeah,
this is our platform.
So yeah, I mean, just look at different ways, and, you know, especially from the sales and customer service, if you don't know what to talk about, what do you always get asked about your business? Start there.
Man, and there's so many opportunities, and I know we're getting close to the end of this, but, you know, we were just talking if anybody in the industry knows Frank Watson, and we're talking about just the power of YouTube and how people are, you know, it's the second biggest search engine that's out there still, and just the people are tapping into it. So anyone that tells you, you know, like, there's just too many people doing this, or I got into it too late, or this or that, you know, we didn't get into podcasting too late. You're not going to get into video too late. You're not going to get it. You know, you create the kind of content that people want, and it's good. It's not too late.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
All right. That's our final advice. Just do it. So for Northside, or for Dave Rohr, I'm there you go, people. But Dave with Northside Metrics, I'm Matt Soltola with Avalanche Media, and we appreciate you guys joining us on this episode and look forward to having you back on the next one. Bye, guys.
Bye.